Welcome, ladies and gents, to this episode of the Michael Artsis Show on Be Terrific. I'm Kevin Foley, your host on this Tuesday, the first day of March. You can follow us on all social media, connect at beterrific.com. Well, actually, I just gave you guys the wrong information. Let's rewind that and bring it back. Let's see if we can hit the rewind button on that. Follow us on all social media, at Beterrific TV, and to join us in the Slack chat, send your request to connect at beterrific.com. Okay, now that we've corrected that, how are you guys doing out there? Shout out to the Terrifics. Thank you again for joining us, for continuing to watch, continuing to support, the Michael Arthur Show, continuing to support Be Terrific. We do this for you, and we'll keep this ball rolling just for you guys. First day of March started off a bit rainy. It's surprising, but it's always amazing to me how fast time is going. It seems like the older you get, the faster time goes. I mean, it feels like we just entered into 2017, entered into the new year, and now we're about a quarter of the way through. We're into March already. It's amazing. You know? I mean, hopefully with that fast time goes fast progress too, not just for myself, but for everybody, you know? Personally, I have a lot of goals set for this year. I want to make a lot of strides and a lot of growth, like I've had in previous years too. Before, you know, I always want to get better, not just every year, but every day, you know. But I'm definitely making more of a conscious effort and trying to figure out ways to best do that for myself. I've been reading a lot of books, a lot of audiobooks. I'm trying to read a new audiobook at least once a week. You know, right now I'm reading an audiobook. Let me give you guys the name, the title of it. Maybe you might want to, you know, check it out. I can't say it's been as good. This book, the name of this book is called Make It Stick, The Science of Successful Learning. I'm trying to find just different ways to learn different things, because, you know, we've all been taught to learn a certain type of way. Like, for instance, in this book, I know one of the notions of learning, or one of the myths with learning that I thought was truthful, or I thought to be true, was to continue. Like, for instance, if you're studying something, repetitive reading, where you just read it over and over again, where it becomes to the point where you're almost memorizing the text. From what I found, at least from according to this book, that's not the best way to actually learn. That doesn't really help you much. It helps you in the short term, you know, but it doesn't help you in the long term, because it doesn't help you comprehend what it is that you're learning. There's a difference between reading words and comprehending what it is that you're reading. And in doing that, that doesn't really help you take in the information and be able to apply it. This book talks about how it's important to retrieve what it is that you're learning. Meaning, after you learn something, it's easy to forget it in the vast or all the memories and thoughts that you have. But in order to kind of keep it fresh, in order to actually have it stick to you and to actually learn it, you actually have to retrieve it, meaning go over what it is that you learned, replay it in your mind, some of the things that you've seen or what it is that you read, quiz yourself also as well on what it is that you're trying to learn. So I'm picking up a few tidbits, and oh yeah, another thing, making connections between the new things that you're learning and things that you've like learned in the past, or lessons or certain things like that. So retrieval, quizzing, and making connections are very big points, are three major points of emphasis in this book in regards to learning. So I'm definitely reading this book and trying to pick up some new things. It's okay. It's not bad. It's not the best read, I would say. But I have a few more books that are on my list that I'm going to go through, you know, week by week. I'm trying to finish a new book every week at least. So this is book number two for me. So we'll see what I get to next. I'll keep you guys informed and let you guys know. But I definitely want to finish this book and see what else it has to offer, and try to apply the things that I'm picking up from it, and see that if it could help me. You know, I definitely want to, like, you know, I'm blessed enough to have all these experiences here at Be Terrific, to be here with Michael and Adam and guys who've been in the business, and to learn things from them as well. But I also want to catch up in my learning rate. I want to kind of be able to do more than what I've been able to do. You know, I want to be able to take on more responsibility, not just for Be Terrific, but for myself as well. You know, I've spent a lot of time here, and I want to make sure that time it's been fruitful as far as experience and everything else, but I want to make sure that I'm really able to get all of my time's worth and being able to apply all of these great things that I'm able to see and witness on a regular basis here. So I'm trying to figure out ways to kind of tap into my brain to kind of absorb more of what it is I'm learning and apply it more, you know. So we'll see some of the things that I pick up and I learn here and see how it is that I'm able to apply it. But enough about me. It's about you guys. It's about the Terrifics. It's about Be Terrific. And I'm going to try to bring you guys some stories today. We have a few things to talk about, including Oculus. You know, you guys know the Rift and the Touch combination will drop to $598 now from the $799 price. That's $100 off of each piece of the hardware, which is good. I know for a lot of people who are into this stuff and haven't been able to get it because, you know, it's the price range is just a little too high for them. It's been, like, you know, out of their affordability. And so now, you know, it's still expensive, but now it's a little bit less expensive. And so there's going to be people out there who are now going to be able to get it who weren't able to get it before. I think the more people that are exposed to these new technologies, the better it is for everyone. You know, there's a kid out there who's going to be able to get this and figure out some things that maybe can improve upon the technology at some point in time. You know, the next Steve Jobs, the next Elon Musk is going to, you know, get the Oculus Rift and go ahead and decide, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and make a difference here and do something. You know, so those are the kind of things that that I have in mind where you make technologies like this more affordable to the everyday person. So I think that's great that they're doing that. I want to see what other ways, if other companies are going to continue to follow suit, and what advances and improvements are made to the technology overall in this coming year. It's supposed to be a very big year for VR and AR in itself. So I'm looking forward to seeing exactly how so. With the price being brought down by $200, I have to believe that they do have a new product that they're going to roll out soon. Not that I've heard anything, but that's usually the course of action that precipitates a new product being released. So we'll see if that's the case here too as well. And just to keep the news and I guess tech companies, Google launched YouTube TV yesterday. It'll cost about $35 a month. People will be able to access content from broadcast networks such as ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, Bravo, ESPN as well. In order to get this, you need to have a Google Chromecast or a TV with the Chromecast built in it. You know, so this is a big deal, obviously. YouTube is viewed, people have watched 1 billion hours of YouTube videos each day. And it's obviously a big source of video watching, personally, for myself, too, as well. You know, I'm a very big basketball guy, very big sports guy, and even music as well. I always go to YouTube and just type it in, and I'm able to find exactly what it is that I'm looking for. So I definitely am a big YouTube guy. I don't think I'll be buying the service for their streaming. But nonetheless, though, it makes sense for them to go in this direction with how many people go visit the site every day, how many hours of video is consumed on the site every day. It seems like the next step, the gradual step, is to go ahead and go this route where they're streaming broadcasts. Networks and streaming their own original content. If anything, that surprises me that they didn't take that turn and haven't done that yet. I thought that would be one of the first things that they would do. I mean, they've been streaming other people's videos for so long. I think that they're a bit behind the eight ball here in bringing their own original content. They do have original content that people place on YouTube, but I don't think that they have YouTube produce original content. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong here. And if they do, there's nothing that I know of that really stands out as far as being really good. You know, not like Netflix has or Amazon and some of these other streaming services. You know, I mean, Netflix has really changed the game in regards to how movies are consumed and what really really makes a movie big time and successful. I mean, before, as a filmmaker, as a creator, it seemed like the way to go big time would be to, you know, go to some of these film festivals and have a major, you know, production house or something like that, pick up your movie and then put it in theaters. Now you don't have to do that. We're able to cut that portion out, cut the politics out, and go straight from, you know, being produced straight to streaming on channels like YouTube and stuff like that, which is awesome. I think it's a great time to be a filmmaker, a great time to be a creator, because you can give the people the opportunity to judge your work without having it had to be done by people who are executives in some of these big time companies decide whether or not you're good enough. We the people will be able to decide that on our own. I really love that, and I'm a big fan of that, and I'm happy to hear that that's trending. It continues to trend in that direction. One day I'll be making my own movie in my own shoes, and I would love the opportunity to have it shown to the world. And nowadays, thanks to streams like YouTube, that's going to be something that's going to be readily available, and I'm going to be able to do. And I look forward to being able to do that. So, again, YouTube making the gradual step in its growth to now stream broadcast for over 40 networks. They're going to be offering access to content for $35 a month. So it's cool to see that they're taking that step. I think Facebook is also in the midst of doing something similar. So a lot of these social media, a lot of these big tech companies are actually obviously headed in that direction. So everything will be streaming soon. So I want to see how cable responds to it, because the prices for cable are ridiculous. I mean, the way these cable companies are set up is like it's a monopoly pretty much. Like, for instance, for towns like Irvington and Newark, you're only able to get access to Comcast, for instance, in Irvington, or you're only able to get access to Optimum cable channels in Newark. You're not able to kind of really survey the market for all the different providers and pick what best suits you. So you're kind of locked into one price, locked into certain packages that these guys offer you. And they're ridiculously expensive. So the option to have like YouTube and different like people in the market and be able to stream that for lower prices is definitely something I think is going to be welcome and something that needs to be done. What else is going on, ladies and gents? Lego will release a set of 5 female NASA scientists, engineers, and astronauts based on real women who have worked for the space agency, which is awesome. That's welcome. We need more diversity in our Lego sets. Obviously, women in tech, women in NASA, women in general play a big role in this world, and they need to be recognized for some of the different contributions they've made to society. Not just in the household as mothers, but as professionals and people who've actually, you know, helped build this world and help us take steps forward in technology and science and everything else. And you know, although Lego is not the end all be all of that, it's not the biggest praise that you can get. It's a welcome to see that now, you know, my niece Jalen be able to go into, you know, a toy store and get a Lego set of females who have done something so great, such as these women here. Katherine Johnson, who is actually played, I'm not sure. I didn't see the movie by what actor exactly, but she is a character that's being portrayed in the movie Hidden Figures. I'm sorry, guys. Hidden Figures. She's being portrayed in Hidden Figures. She's one of the Lego characters that's going to be one of the people that is going to have a Lego figure. The others are computer scientist Margaret Hamilton, astronaut, physicist, and educator Sally Ride, astronomer Nancy Grace Roman, and astronaut and physician Mae Jemison. So congrats to those women for this accomplishment and for this recognition that they're going to receive. I think that the Lego set should come out in 2018. So I'll definitely be supporting that, and other people should be supporting it too. Wow, I just realized I have my glasses on. I usually don't like to do the show with my glasses on. I like to do it with them off. I got to get contacts, actually. I'm long overdue for that. Very long overdue. You know, don't get me wrong. Glasses are great. I'm able to see in them. But I just don't like the look for myself. I don't like the way I look in glasses. I'd much rather have them. I'd much rather do the contacts, you know. But I am grateful for the glasses. Thank you, Michael. It's great to be able to actually see, you know. Once I first got the glasses and I was wearing them, it just was a big difference in the way I was seeing things before to how I see things regularly. But I do use them often. I use them every day, especially when I'm driving, especially when I'm driving at night. And it's been a huge help to me. But I definitely want to get contacts. And eventually, at some point in time, I'll be brave enough to get a LASIK surgery. You know, and I'll have to do that as well. But guys, you know, we've touched on a few things. We're already 17 minutes in. And think we're ready to go ahead and take a break, maybe. You know, catch our breaths and come back to talk some more of what's going on in the world on this episode of the Michael Artist Show on Be Terrific with me. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Hey guys, welcome back to the Michael Artist Show on Be Terrific. I'm Kevin Foley, your host. We're going to keep the ball rolling on this first day of March. You can follow us on all social media. Connect. Why do I keep saying connect? I'm jumping the gun, guys. You can follow us on all social media at Be Terrific TV. And to join us in the Slack chat, send your request to connect@beterrific.com. I'm so antsy to get people in the Slack chat that that's the first thing I'm mentioning. Maybe I need to just go ahead in reverse order and go with that first, huh? Anyway, guys, we're going to talk a little bit of sports. Big news in the sports world today. Kevin Durant has a hyperextended his knee yesterday when Zaza Pachulia, his teammate, fell into his knee. And Durant hyperextended it. It's an MCL sprain, a grade 2 MCL sprain, I believe. And he's going to be out for 4 to 8 weeks, which is great news because the initial concern was that he would be out for the season completely and that the injury was much more severe than it's shown itself to be. Which is scary stuff. Nobody in sports or in the NBA in particular wants to see Kevin Durant get injured. He's a big-time player, top 5 player in this league. You know, one of the best scorers in NBA history, even at this point in his career. And it makes for a better league and a better game. And definitely is going to make for a better matchup in the finals when they face the Cavs if he's able to partake. And that's, I guess, a somewhat fortunate news just because everyone was fearful that it was such a bad injury that he'd be out for the season. That to hear that it's only going to be 4 to 8 weeks, and I'm hearing more so 4 weeks, that's definitely good to hear. That's very scary news, I'm sure, for Warriors fans and Kevin Durant fans out there. But he has to make it back, I'm guessing. He has to make it back for the playoffs because the implications could be major. I'm not going to pencil in the Warriors into the finals without Kevin Durant. I know they went there 2 years in a row without him. I know that they still have Draymond Green. They still have Klay Thompson. They still have two-time MVP Steph Curry. But they also lost a few parts from that team. They don't have Barbosa. They don't have Andrew Bogut. These guys are players that played incremental parts. Harrison Barnes. These guys are guys who played big parts in their championship runs for the past 2 years that they gave those guys up to get Kevin Durant. And so not to have them or Kevin Durant could be a real big deal for them. If they have to face the San Antonio Spurs without Kevin Durant, they may not even make it to the finals. The Houston Rockets, I don't think that they're good enough, but nonetheless, they've shown themselves to be a well-oiled machine in the way that they play under D'Antoni, that you don't want to see them without Kevin Durant. You might still be able to beat them, but you don't want to play them without Kevin Durant. I mean, they've added some weapons too as well when you include Lou Will, so that could be scary. You know, if New Orleans somehow makes it to the playoffs and Golden State has to see them in the first round, you don't want to play them without Kevin Durant. I mean, don't get me wrong. With all of that said, I still think that Golden State is the better team than all of these teams, even without Kevin Durant, but it's not as shoo-in as it was before with him. So obviously I'm sure they're praying and hoping for a speedy recovery from KD to be back out there on the floor, because it can change things really quick. The NBA is a game that's so dependent on star players. One player can make such a big difference between your winning and losing and how far you go in the playoffs, or if you make it at all. So this is just another indication, another example of that. This past month, February, was just a very, very big month in regards to injuries for NBA players. I mean, Jabari Parker tore his ACL for the second time, which is sad because he was having such a great season. A phenomenal young player. Definitely was my favorite. He was my favorite player to watch this season. I love to see young players grow and come into their own because I see the potential in them. I see what they can become, and I like seeing that come to fruition. And I thought Jabari was on his way to kind of becoming a dominant force in this league. He was going to show himself to be just a freak in that, you know, for a guy to be able to move like a guard at the size and the weight that he was, and playing the four and to be as strong as he was something that we didn't really have in this league. He was a Carmelo 2.0 to me, a more athletic, more energetic Carmelo to me. I thought he was that good. I thought he was going to be something great. And don't get me wrong, he's a young guy. He still can be. But when you tear your ACL twice in the same knee, that's a real big setback. And I would love to see him come back strong from that. But obviously, he may have to make some adjustments in his career to how he plays now, because that's really hard to come from. I mean, Zach LaVine, who was a two-time NBA dunk champion, but that's what people know him for. But he's much more than that. He's one of the better young players in the NBA. Extremely athletic, strong work ethic, according to all reports and from people around the league. And was having a great season. I think he was averaging about close to 18 or 19 points a game. And he tore his ACL too as well, which is sad, you know. I hate the fact that these young players, that these young stars are succumbing to injury like this. It's something that I feel as though it's been happening more and more over the course of the years. And something has to be done. I mean, Kevin Love is another guy. He had a knee surgery. He's going to be back for the playoffs, thankfully. But still, nonetheless, you know, that's a big-time injury for the Cavaliers. If he was to be out for the season, that could change the face of things as well. And when he does come back, is he going to be 100%? Is he going to still play at the level in which he played at the beginning of the season that led him to be an all-star, named the all-star this year? We'll have to wait and see. But these injuries are really concerning to me. I feel as though, like, as with the advances we've made in medicine and in technology and everything else, more can be done, more needs to be done in order to prevent some of these injuries, and or at least see them coming before they come, so that we can prevent them somehow, because it is happening far too often, and they are ruining careers. One of the big injuries that affected me as a basketball fan was Derrick Rose's injury, about, what was that, 2009, was it maybe, potentially, or 2000, I think it was about 2009, 2010 or so, when he tore his ACL in the playoff game against the Philadelphia 76ers. It was April. I believe it was the first round of the playoffs, and that was just scary. I mean, that was not even scary. It was devastating. Obviously, Derrick Rose has not been the same since then. This is a guy who was the youngest MVP in NBA history, was well on his way to become, in my opinion, probably the most dominant guard of his era, and to place himself amongst the all-timers. I mean, people see what Westbrook is doing now, and what he's doing is amazing. Had another 40-point triple-double last night. Russell Westbrook is a beast. But Derrick Rose was better than Russell Westbrook at that same point in time in their careers. He was better than him his rookie year. Every year in their careers, prior to that injury, Derrick Rose was the better player. So to see what Westbrook is doing now, sometimes is bittersweet in how I think of how Derrick Rose would have been if he never had to succumb to that injury. What would he be doing? What would people be saying about him as far as where he's measuring up in the all-time greats and what he's doing for the game of basketball? That's something we'll never know, unfortunately, because the guy tore his ACL and he was never the same. He took a year off, trying to, you know, come back healthy and 100% strong, and then he ended up tearing his MCL and his other knee. So it's like it just was really, really a devastating sequence of events that happened to him over the course of years. That kind of it hasn't ruined his career. He's still a good player. He's still a very effective player. He's still a starting point guard in this league that can be very effective on the right team. But at the same time, he's not the same guy. And watching him on the Knicks is sad, not because he's bad, but it's because I know what he was before. You know, I watched him from high school through college to his first few seasons in the NBA. I watched almost every game, and I knew it immediately that he wasn't the same. I was hoping that with time that he would come back and be that same guy, but I think more than anything, the tolls of the injury mentally is what has really weighed him down and kept him from kind of like reaching that level once again. So these injuries are big deals. I mean, Brandon Roy, one of the great two guards, one of the most respected players in our league for some time, had to retire before the age of 30 because he didn't have any more meniscus in his knee, and he had chronic knee issues. It was sad to see. This is a guy who, I mean, was phenomenal. I mean, Kobe, all of the great guards and great players in the league respected this guy's game. Ron Artest called him the hardest person to defend. I mean, this guy was very well respected and was that good. But we won't know how good he could have been because his career was cut short due to knee injuries. I mean, the list goes on and on. Penny Hardaway, Tim Hardaway, Amari Stoudemire. These are guys who played in the league that didn't get to fulfill their full potential due to injuries, due to knee injuries. I mean, even aside from knee injuries, you have Grant Hill, who had, unfortunate situation with his ankle, where he had multiple surgeries on his ankle, and he never became the same player again. It's just sad when you see, like, great players not be able to fulfill that potential. It just really stings me, and it's something I really hate to see. But I'm happy that the circumstances are not that dire for Kevin Durant, and that it's something that he's going to be able to recover from and be back for. How he'll come back, is he going to still be able to be as effective as he was? Is he going to have 100% confidence in that need to attack and to play the same way that he was playing prior to? That's something obviously we'll have to wait and see. But even a less than 100% Kevin Durant is still better than 90% of the league, and still a very formidable weapon for a Golden State team that made it to two straight finals. So he may come back and he may not be the way he was prior to, but that still could be enough to beat the Cavs and at least meet the Cavs in the finals. Speaking of the Cavs, they added Deron Williams to their team. I mean, LeBron, you can't say any more about not having enough or needing more help. I mean, Deron Williams, Bogut is set to sign with you guys. You added Derek Williams as well. Even before your rant, you guys added Kyle Korver. J.R. Smith is on his way back. I mean, these guys are loaded. They are absolutely loaded. There is not a weakness on that team. I mean, I didn't think that they were bad before him. This is a team that went to two straight finals, but LeBron apparently didn't have enough. He needed more help. Well, LeBron, now you have it. There are absolutely no excuses that can be made on your part at all. I mean, the GM for the Cavs organization has given you everything you could possibly ask for under the circumstances. With the salary cap being what it is, you guys have the highest salary cap in the league. I mean, and the players, the caliber of players that you guys are adding, I mean, my goodness, you guys are adding a former Olympian, former All-Star to the team. And it's not like Deron is washed. Deron can still play. He's probably not as effective as he used to be. He's not the same All-Star Deron. He's not the same Deron that was regarded as the best point guard in the league for some time. But he's still a very good guy to have on your team. And, I mean, as a backup point guard, playing against, you know, opposing benches, I mean, that's extremely valuable. And he could play two guard, too, because he's big enough to do that. I mean, wow, that team is deep, loaded. And they have it all. I think LeBron, this may be the best team LeBron has ever played on. I mean, and that's saying a lot because LeBron's played on some really great teams. I think sometimes people tend to forget that, you know. You know, the Cavs team that he had last year and the year before was really good. The Miami Heat teams were really good at that time, you know. So he's had some really good teams, and this team may outdo all of those teams as the number one team. So we'll see how that continues to go and if that's going to be enough for LeBron. I would love to hear a reporter ask him a question about how he feels about his roster now and see how he responds to that, you know, because they're loaded. The Knicks, on the other hand, continue to lose. The Knicks have been so disappointing to me, man. I had such high hopes for them coming into the season. I thought that they could be a number two seed. I thought that they could challenge Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. And now it looks like they may not even make the playoffs. I mean, it's just sad. What a debacle that's been. I mean, Brandon Jennings, who I thought was playing really well for them, was one of the guys that kind of brought heart and spirit and feistiness to the team, was actually let go. And now he's signing with the Washington Wizards, which is a great look for him because he's going to be able to be a part of a playoff team. And I think they're going to be really able to use him, and he'll be valuable there. But, I mean, it's just crazy to see how the next season has turned out. I mean, Phil Jackson continues to insist on running the triangle. Despite not having the necessary personnel to run the offense. And I don't think that that personnel necessarily even exists in today's NBA. It seems like the system is too hard to learn for a lot of these NBA players who are used to the pick and roll, high screen and roll game that they've been playing in their entire lives. And to get acclimated with the system will take up to a year. So you're going to sacrifice a season just for these guys to learn the system all together. And on top of that, some of these guys are better utilized elsewhere because they have other strengths that can be best if they're playing maybe a different style of basketball. But Phil Jackson is insistent on doing that. I don't believe in all the flack that Phil's been getting this year. I think that he's done a great job, at least in evaluating talent. Willie Hernan Gomez was a great draft pick. I think Kuzmiskis was a great signing by them. Obviously, KP was a great draft pick by them as well. And they'll have a lottery pick if things continue to go this way They'll have a lottery pick in this year's draft too as well. And I'm sure that Phil will continue that trend and draft a very good player. But his insistence on running the triangle offense is problematic and has really dampened the team and hampered the team and not allowed them to kind of like reach their full potential. Some of the things he says is correct, you know, in regards to Carmelo. I think his criticisms are right. And even his evaluations of a lot of the players with that article that his friend Charlie Rosen released, I think is really spot on. But at the same time, though, he's being very stubborn and it's not helping anyone. But guys, I went off. I gave you my sports rant. Had to talk NBA, especially with the Kevin Durant news. I thought that was pretty huge in the NBA world and the sports world, as he's one of the big stars out there. So I thought it was necessary to touch on that. But enough about that. We're gonna go ahead, take another break, and we'll come back for the next rest of the show and talk some more of what you want to talk about. You can let me know in the Slack chat, and we'll get to it. But thanks, guys, for continuing to support the Michael Archer Show on Be Terrific. And stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this. Hey, guys, welcome back to the Michael Archer Show on Be Terrific. I'm Kevin Foley, your host. You can follow us on all social media at Be Terrific TV and send your request to the Slack chat to get in. Connect at BeTerrific.com, and we'll get you guys in there. Just reading this article on NPR about pee in the pool. Honestly, this has always been a concern of mine. I don't really like public pools. I never use them. I've never been a fan of using them either. The fact that I'm not trying to be too high and mighty, but the fact that just so many people are able to get into the same pool and use it, and some people pee in the pool, obviously, and things like that, I just didn't feel comfortable in it. I guess the germaphobe in me comes out in that regards. I don't like public bathrooms either. I definitely didn't like public pools. And they would say, if you pee in a pool, there's chemicals in there that kills it off and won't allow it to. And that's just always bothered me. It's water. People were like opening their mouths and doing things in the water, and it's just kind of like blowing their nose in the water and it's going in your mouth. I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking the whole thing. Well, maybe apparently not, because a scientist just kind of calculated that in one 220,000 gallon commercial size swimming pool that they tested in Canada, they found almost 20 gallons of urine. It was a residential pool, 20 by 40 foot, 5 feet deep. And that translated to about, what I named there, and as far as 20 gallons of urine. No, I'm sorry. If that size that I mentioned, the equivalent of it would be 2 gallons of urine. Let me read that again for you guys, for those who are confused. The scientists calculated that one 220,000 gallon commercial size swimming pool contained almost 20 gallons of urine. In a residential pool, which is 20 by 40 foot, 5 feet deep, that would translate to about 2 gallons of pee. That's disgusting. I don't care what the percentage is. Nobody would normally get into a pool or get into anything that had urine in it. So that's just my mindset that goes into it with these public pools. People have tried to get me to get into it, and I'm like, it just doesn't seem right to me. It's something that just doesn't seem cleanly to me. I don't feel comfortable getting into a pool that hundreds of people have access to. You know, it's just not right. I'm too much of a germaphobe to just go with that and agree with that and to get involved with that. And apparently, according to this article, there was something to the way that I was thinking, at least. So I'm happy that, you know, I've stayed away from public pools and I'm going to continue to do so. Sure, more studies have come out confirming or, like, you know, discussing this as well. And I think that after reading that article, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to decide they're going to stay away from public pools in general right now. Also, speaking of water, actually, I was with a friend yesterday and we were discussing the fact that Flint still doesn't have clean water. The fact that this isn't talked about every day and isn't headline news is just disturbing to me on so many levels. I mean, a town, a place in America doesn't have clean water. Kids' lives, people's lives have been changed forever due to the harmful effects of drinking the water that they had, that lead-filled water. You know, their learning, like their ability to learn, their mental growth, all of this has been changed because of that, because of what happened in Flint, because of the criminal actions that took place from government officials and people that run Flint. And it still goes on now where they don't have clean water. That's just, it's sad. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. It's not enough words, I guess, to even describe how wrong it is. And it's not getting nearly the attention that it should. This should be talked about every day. How could something like this be happening in America? You know, like everyone's so worried about, and I'm rightfully so, what Donald Trump tweets or what's said in politics. How about getting these people clean water? How about making sure that these people were treated like Americans, like people, like the way that they should be treated? I mean, they suffered enough with what went on with this water. They can't afford to continue to buy water. They shouldn't have to. The fact that this can continue to happen has been this long with no changes and nothing happening. I mean, I can't emphasize enough how disappointing that is and how sickening and how saddened I am to hear that. It shouldn't be happening at all. And more people should care about it. And more people should be calling Flint and their government and just demanding that something change. Calling our own government. I mean, they're paying attention to everything else but this. People are suffering right now in our country by not having access to free water. I mean, it's insane that this is happening. I don't know. I don't even know what else to say about it. I'm just disappointed all around that this is still going on in the United States and that people in Flint don't have clean water. I don't think anything else matters right now. I think that's the top. That should be at the top of the list of our government and everyone else to kind of like be doing something about. It's no way that we should not that they should not have clean water. But, you know, I guess it is what it is. It's just sad, man. Just sad. I don't even know what else to say. I'm disappointed. But guys, I think we're getting close to the end of the show. I'm gonna go ahead, take another break, another short break, and then we'll come back. I have a positive quote for you guys. And then we'll end it and get ready for the next day. But guys, thank you again for continuing to watch the Mike Washer Show on Be Terrific. You guys stay tuned and we'll be back right after this. Hey guys, welcome back to the Michael Archer Show on Be Terrific. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up on this first day of March. It's been a terrific show. It's always great being with you guys. Thank you for your continuing support of Be Terrific and the Michael Archer Show. Before we go ahead and go, I'm going to leave you guys with these wise words, these positive words that hopefully can help you today and maybe going forward. Difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. Just keep that in mind whenever you're going through tough times. You guys stay terrific. I'll be here tomorrow, same time, same place. The Michael Archer Show, Be Terrific. You guys stay terrific, and thanks again for joining us.